Welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast with Phil Pringle. Phil is the founder and senior leader of C3 Church Global, a family of over 500 churches around the world. We're passionate about bringing you fresh, inspiring devotionals to fuel your day and insightful conversations on all things church and leadership. And it all starts right now.
Hey everyone, and welcome to Selah. We're so glad you could join us this morning from wherever you're tuning in, whichever part of India, whatever time zone. A big, big warm welcome to you. We're in week two of Walking with Wisdom, and we have an extremely special guest with us today. If you've not already noticed, this handsome man sitting right here.
Pastor Phil.
This is Pastor Phil.
Hello, everybody. So good to be here. Welcome to Church Online.
Yep.
Yes. Now, Pastor Phil and Pastor Chris founded C3 Church Global Movement in 1980.
1980, you're correct.
Oh,
yeah,
my
Rachel.
Goodness. Yep. Over 500 churches globally with over 60 countries.
Yes. Yeah.
That is incredible. Now, Pastor Phil, if you've already not gone onto his Instagram and stalked him, he is an artist. He's a big advocate for live paintings, preaching through live paintings, sculpture, and all things arty. We are so honored to have you here.
Indeed.
Well, it's such a pleasure. Well, Pastor Rachel and Ryan, Pastor Ryan, can't believe that here you are sitting in Australia, because from afar, we all think these guys are legends. And they have done such a magnificent job there in Mumbai, in India. And we couldn't be more proud of your pastors. Obviously, from here in Australia, we only want to export our best preachers, our finest leaders. And so we thought the daughter of Shelton and Melissa would have to be in that category.
Absolutely.
Great legacy. And then the son of our pastors over at Joondalup, who've just recently passed it on. Then we thought this couple are the finest that we've got. And let's send them to the nation that God loves the most, India.
So good. Well, Pastor Phil, we're going through a series on wisdom.
Right.
We're going through the book of Proverbs.
Right.
The book of Proverbs starts with the beginning of wisdom is to fear the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And over the years, I mean, you've been walking with the Lord for such a long time and done so much in all of that. So where has it all begun with you in terms of wisdom? Where's that wisdom led you with how God has imparted that to you?
Okay, so honestly, I've never thought of myself as a wise person. Other people have called me wise and said that's wisdom and whatever, but the essence of wisdom is that you won't have it if you think you are.
Wow.
It's a weird thing. It says the person who's wise in his own eyes, there's more hope for a fool than that person. So you never want to be wise in your own conceit, thinking, I know what to do. I'm smart enough. I can figure all this out. Really, when you've got a teachable heart and you say, God, I don't know what to do. I mean, that is,
Wow. That's
where it begins.
Mm.
Because if I think I know what to do, I didn't ask you guys, then I'm never going to get wisdom, because often the wisdom for my life is in other people.
Wow.
So true.
And if I'm not prepared to actually open up to others and for their input. And then I just got to be forming choices in life is basically what wisdom rests on. And that's the heading of this this segment in your series.
Yeah.
Making right choices.
Absolutely.
And it's sliding doors, if you know what I mean. Our lives could go that way or that way. And if we make just even a small deviation on a decision that takes us just a little off where we're meant to be going. Today it might seem little, but in 20 years,
so you
could be regretting deeply. So that we avoid living a life of remorse, I think to make the right choice is imperative.
Mm.
Okay, so making the right choice is definitely resting on faith as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I could know what to do, but to actually do it, to actually step out of the boat, which you guys did. My Lord. How long ago did you do that?
We moved over 8 years ago.
Years
and then we started.
In just 8 years, and now you've got hundreds of people, even under COVID, meeting online.
Mm-hmm.
How old were you then?
Oh, well, I was,
32.
18?
But Rachel was...
28.
Yeah.
28? And you were?
I was like 30, 32.
Incredible.
No. Sorry, what 36. Am I saying? 36. What am I saying? I'm getting confused.
He likes things.
Yeah, well, you look younger.
It gets younger every time.
I mean, that's faith, guys. I know you might think it's Australia is this far off distant land. We're all the land of the brave and people with great courage, but we're the same as you.
Yeah.
To take a step like that is a big one. And to take a step from a comfortable life here in Australia, that's a choice.
Yeah.
Making right choices. And you made it.
Yeah.
And do you have any regrets?
No.
No.
I wish I had have asked more questions of people. I mean, that's the only thing is that what you're saying about wisdom. It's like you've got to open up and not think that you've got it together, you know. I mean, that's...
Yeah. Definitely could have made better decisions along the way, but no regrets. On going there.
Do you know, when I look back, people say, wow, you've got so much success, everything you touch is... They don't know half the story. I think I've got more failures than successes in my history. Honestly, do you know how you figure out how to make great decisions? By making bad ones. And you learn. I mean, you just keep stepping out. The greatest mistakes I have made have been because of impatience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Once I'm inspired about doing something, nothing's going to stop me from going and doing that. However, once you've been hit once and then twice and you realize maybe before I act, I should stop and look up.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I think that is the essence of wisdom. I'd call that the fear of the Lord. Mm. And the fear of the Lord could also be the fear of consequences.
Mm. Yeah.
Because if you rush ahead in your impatience and you do something without looking up, what's going to happen is that you get into a mess. And then you look up. So now he's your savior. But if you look up before you do something, he's your Lord.
Wow. That's
and I think we've got to move on from having Jesus as our savior all the time, getting us out of our messes, to making him the Lord so that before we do anything, we say, what do you think, Lord?
Wow.
So good.
So good.
And I don't think we should say, Lord, this is what I'm going to do. Bless my plan.
Yeah.
That's, it says, commit your plans to the Lord.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that isn't meaning exactly that prayer. Here's my plan. Bless it, Lord. It is submitting your plan, not just committing. But when you submit to God, that's when you can resist the devil and he'll flee from you.
Wow.
When you submit to God, it's like saying, Lord, this is what I like, but over to you. You're in the driver's seat. I'm just a passenger here with my life and I'm looking to you. And he could answer it in various ways. We're hesitant to do that because we don't want to hear him say no. And we'd rather avoid hearing no about, Lord, I want to go out with this guy. Not for me, this girl. What? And even then, I don't want it because I'm married. People. And so, you know, it's like, yes, it's like, but I'm talking about a young person.
Yes.
Who's in love. God, bless this relationship. You haven't asked, is the relationship okay, Lord? Are you into it?
Wow.
I'm going to go into this business. I'm going to make so much money. It's such a brilliant idea. I've heard it from someone. Before you go in there and spend all the money and make all the commitments, just stop. And I believe, you know, I believe that's why God loved David so much. Because can you remember the time when he returned from a war with the Philistines and came back to Ziklag?
Yes.
And his house was ruined. Not only his, but all of his team. Mm-hmm. Everybody in his little army, their goods were gone, their wives, their children, their houses were destroyed. And they wanted to kill David. So this is a great leader. This is a really great leader. He's militarily brilliant. He's won every battle he's been in. He could have said, all right, let's go get them. Let's get our wives back. Let's get our goods back. Let's get everything back. He knew he could, but he didn't do that. He stopped and he said, Lord, shall I pursue?
Wow, that's great.
Even at the possibility was that he could lose his wife, lose his children, lose the goods if God said no.
So good.
So submission isn't just submitting your plan, it's surrender.
It is.
Wow, that's good.
Just everything I've got is up for grabs right now. If you say no, then I'm not going.
Yeah.
But he trusted in the Lord and knew the love of God. And so God said, pursue, pursue, for you shall not only recover that, you'll recover everything. And here's the beautiful thing, that he did pursue, and he got these Amalekites, who God didn't like much at all. They were terrible. The way they fought was from the rear, and God thought they were a bunch of cowards. They attacked Israel from the rear when they were coming out of Egypt. So God just said, I don't like you people forever. And so he was very angry with them for a long time. And when Saul spared some of them, remember that?
Yep, yeah.
God said, what'd you do that for? You lost the kingdom today. God did not like this, the enemy. You should have wiped it out. So now David pursues, destroys that army. He not only gets back his wife, his kids, their goods, and all the men get all that back. They not only get that back, but these Amalekites have been raiding city after city after city. So they were enormously wealthy. They had enormous amounts of good livestock, everything. David got it all.
He got it all.
Because
he paused.
Yeah, because he stopped.
Wow, that's good.
He stopped and got wisdom. That's where wisdom comes from. It comes from God. He didn't say, I know what to do. I'm smart enough. I got the experience. I got the expertise. I got the men. I got resources, I got it all here. So wisdom comes to the humble hearted, to the person who stops and looks to the Lord. And that's the fear of the Lord.
Yeah.
That's the fear of consequences if I don't do this.
Yes.
Because once you've done a few things in impatience, presumption, and rushed ahead of God, you realize that that's just a mess on the other side.
Wow, yeah.
But our impulse to get what we want now is very strong. That's a piece of humanity that the cross has to come to. And so there comes another point in this, which is where Jesus is everything or he's enough. So if I'm thinking I'm just going to go out and buy that house because I want it, and you're going to ignore God in the whole process, maybe Jesus is not enough for you.
Wow.
Maybe looking for
you're looking for other things to fill up that gap. So if you're spending time with the Lord every day, you've got a satisfaction, you've got a peace. You don't need anything else. The Lord is my shepherd. I don't lack. I don't need anything else. And I think that if he's Lord and he's enough, then I have a really good core value in my life. To keep stepping out, believe me, Ryan and Rachel, I mean, you've done unbelievable things. And your faith is so exemplary. You know, in that Hebrews 11 chapter, there's a revised version. I don't know if you've read it. Rachel, Ryan, what is there in that? There's Abraham, there's David, there's Isaiah, there's Jeremiah, and there's Rachel and Ryan Waters. I don't know if you've seen that, but you are there, and you've got people shouting you on from heaven. But believe me, that's only the beginning. You have been successful, but I've found that God rewards people who are successful with more work. He's going to say, hey, I got some bigger things for you. And I have no doubt that he has got really great things for C3 in Mumbai. I saw another name.
We called it Sailor. It just means to Sailor? Pause.
Pause. Sailor. To pause. What we're talking about. Yeah. That's right. I saw that the other day.
Yes.
So there's no doubt that there is enormous dreams, possibilities, and futures for Sailor in Mumbai. And for you guys. But let me tell you this. It won't happen, number one, just because we've looked to God either. That's the first step.
Yeah.
And submitting and surrendering. Sure. Once, when we know what to do, but then to do it, to actually go through with it.
Yeah.
When you look to God and he gives you some weird wisdom. Okay, so wisdom doesn't always look smart. For a military commander to walk around a city seven times over a period of 7 days,
that's weird wisdom.
Itching for a fight.
Yeah.
That's weird wisdom. To do it, it's not just believing God, it's being. And faith is not just about believing, it's about being.
Wow, that's great.
So I might believe that that's going to be, but I need to be courageous.
Yes.
I need to be confident. I need to be positive. Mm. And I've found that God will always build your confidence, your positivity, and your courage. But he doesn't always do it just sovereignly out of heaven. He does it through each of us.
Yeah, wow.
So whenever I've got a chance or an opportunity, I want to put courage in other people's hearts.
Yeah.
Come on.
That is what encourage means, to put courage into. The devil does the opposite. He takes courage out so that you feel timid, fearful, of a poor self-image, unworthy, disqualified, unforgiven, not the right person, all those things. Are the devil. And so fighting the good fight of faith means I am going to fight against everything that is trying to put me down, hold me back, diminish me, intimidate me, bully me into some kind of false submission, believing that that's a better form of Christianity. What I need to have is a faith-filled life.
Come on.
Where I am confident that God is with me.
So good.
And that I can actually carry out the wisdom that he gives me, the strategies that he gives me.
Yeah.
Go to the priests and show yourself for a healing. Yeah. You don't go to the priests when you're a leper. You're forbidden to go anywhere near the temple. But it says, as they went, they got healed.
So good.
Amen.
So they heard from Jesus, and I can imagine pretty much all of them said, we're not going down there, except that Samaritan, who ended up coming back and saying, thank you. He said, well, why would we not go if he has said go? And so they went. And as they went, they got healed. As we walk the path of faith, and often that path of faith is a strategy that God has given us that is unusual. Sometimes it is quite acceptable. It looks normal. But there are times that it doesn't. Mm. And like tithing, that seems a weird thing. Mm-hmm. That's the wisdom of God. To bring a tenth of my income and give it to the house of the Lord, and then to bring other offerings. I mean, the kingdom of God is upside down.
Counterintuitive.
It is. Yeah. It's counterintuitive. It says like the world says, if you want to get, then gather in, get more, keep taking, take wherever you can.
Yeah.
You come into the kingdom, it says, you want to be blessed? You want to have an abundance? Give.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, wow. That takes faith.
It does.
Yeah.
Because when you, and here's the deal, people. Now I'm getting excited.
All right.
When you get a miracle, when you need a miracle, miracles don't happen when you got an abundance all around you. All the miracles in the scripture happened when they had nothing.
Come
the
on.
Bread falls when they got no bread. The water comes when they got no water.
Wow.
In the wilderness. The fish and bread are multiplied when they got no food. Hmm. The widow's meal multiplies when she's got no
so
flour left. The widow who's got nothing out of that little flask of oil, he says, pour. So she starts pouring out, and it just doesn't stop. It keeps pouring and pouring. The miracles happen when you got nothing. So here's the deal. When you're low on stuff, to give stuff is the last thing you're thinking of.
Wow.
But that's the wisdom of God. That's the strategy of heaven. When you've got one handful of flour and the prophet says, that's what you should give. You go like, I have been told by God to do things sometimes that I am shaking my head. I got to tell you, I haven't even had the faith that it's going to work. I was sitting in a prayer meeting in Seoul, Korea, with 80,000 wow. people in the rain for 6 hours, freezing, sitting on a stage, freezing, and I had to do something in the service with Dr. Cho. My turn came, and as I went to the stage, it was about halfway through the six-hour prayer meeting, I walked to the stage, and the Lord says, prophesy, the sun will shine.
Shucks.
I said, God, the sun isn't going to shine. It's been raining for this long. How could that ever happen? I mean, it's one thing to say, oh, yeah, we got faith. But when it comes down to
yes.
it,
yes.
to be, not just to believe, but to be a person who's confidently acting on the word of God. And so, you know, the sun's ended up shining.
That's awesome.
Wow.
Only because I only went halfway. I prayed and, believe God, But you got to understand that God needs servants who will step out on his word.
Come on.
And there are general principles. What I just talked about there is a specific word from God, but there's the logos, the general word of God has got all sorts of things like make sure you're in church every week.
Yeah.
Yeah, so true.
When you got a choice to make between church or something else or online service or something else or serving in the house or something else, make the smart choice. That honors God, that builds his house. It might take faith. You might have to say to somebody, I can't come. And then you got to actually make another choice. And those kind of choices are framed by wisdom and faith. And I believe that as you keep making those great choices, you're going to find that Sela is going to surge
in
Mumbai. I am believing for it. And I'm going to pray as we come to a close. Can I for you?
Yes, please.
Heavenly Father, I believe that you will bless everybody online today.
Yes, God.
Touch their world, touch their hearts, touch their lives.
Yes.
Jesus. Let them know faith in their spirit, faith in their inner man, yes, faith God. In their soul. That they be people of confidence, Jesus. People who believe God, who get God. Strategies from heaven.
Thank you, Jesus.
And Lord, that with God, nothing is impossible.
Amen.
We see a massive revival of literally millions of people coming into the house of God,
yes, God.
In C3 churches throughout India and Southeast Asia. Father, let the Amen. Blessing of God rest on Ryan and Rachel here today. We love them, so proud of them, and pray for your blessing to enrich their lives at every level. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Phil, for being with us. Church, so good to have this man of God with us, and we love you all. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the C3 Church Global Podcast. Let us know what you thought by leaving a review and connect with us on Instagram @C3 Church Global. We hope you'll be back real soon.